What happened to the big promise of contact tracing using our phones? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Jack Stewart, in for Molly Wood. Test and trace was supposed to be the way to let businesses and economies reopen safely, identify people infected with COVID-19 quickly so that anyone they've been in contact with can isolate. Earlier in this pandemic, Apple and Google joined forces to help create a shared underlying technology for digital contact tracing apps. I just tried to turn the ability on my Android phone. I found COVID-19 exposure notification in my settings, but it says I have to download an app from my local health authority, and almost no states in the US have developed one. For this week's Quality Assurance, we wanted to take a deeper look at why they're not more widely available. Ina Fried is Chief Technology Correspondent for Axios. She's been reporting extensively on this topic.
So on the technical side, you really need a lot of buy-in to make this work. It's not perfect. It's really to augment human contact tracing. Basically, the way this works is if your phone is nearby someone else and they're later say, oh, I have tested positive for coronavirus, you can get a notification. But in order for that to work, a lot of people have to use it. And culturally, the United States just has an aversion to this sort of tracking. I mean, we've seen people don't want to wear a mask. They don't want to do all kinds of things. So they're not going to be prepared to do this kind of invasiveness. The other thing is other countries are doing it at the national level. And in the US, it's fallen to the states who are already trying to manage so many things.
How is it working in other countries? Is there a good model out there?
It's super early days, but I think already we've realized this is a fairly limited tool. This can help, but by itself, it's not a replacement for human contact tracing of interviewing people who've tested positive. Where did you go? Who were you near? This is at best, I think, something that can help that process, help with the anonymous interactions that you couldn't possibly tell a contact tracer who you interacted with at the grocery store, for example. But this technology might help those people be notified.
Do you think that there could be a future for this type of technological contact tracing? Or was this just a well-meaning attempt that these companies put together at the beginning of this pandemic, and now we understand things better and just have decided that we don't really need it?
I think we might well need it. We just may not have it. I do think there are applications of this for the future. I think that shows Apple and Google in a crisis can work together, which is very important because the smartphone world is largely split between those two ecosystems. The other thing I think it shows is there are innovative ways to use the technology we have every day to help with things like a health crisis. And I think that could even play out in smaller ways as people around the world go back to their offices. It's going to be important to know who came in contact with whom. So even if the exact technology that Apple and Google were working on doesn't play a big role in the US, one, it can play a big role elsewhere. But also, I think it's opened our minds to some of the things that are possible using this technology, all while raising the point that privacy is really important.
We've seen a few different approaches around the world to either countries and sort of governments creating their own apps or jumping on board with this Apple-Google model. This week, we saw that the UK has said it will switch its own efforts to the Apple-Google model. Are there advantages to that?
There are. There are advantages and disadvantages. So you saw a lot of the earliest countries that invented digital apps did it completely different from how Apple and Google, maybe using GPS or other tools that later were shown not to be as effective. But what those advantages, some of those apps did have, is they could track a lot more things. Apple and Google, in the name of privacy, put a ton of restrictions on how their technology can be used. So you can't track location in addition. You can't require the app. It has to be voluntary. You can't share other types of information. So Apple and Google's limits were designed to make the person who's using it more comfortable, but it also limited the amount of information that could be collected. So some countries said, you know what, we want a more comprehensive application, so we're going to go our own way. The problem there is, in many cases, in order to work, you had to have the app open all the time, which is kind of a non-starter. I mean, no one's going to leave coronavirus app open on their phone all the time. Plus, you didn't have this deep level, lower level work that Apple and Google did to make the iPhone and Android versions work interoperably. So you kind of are left with Apple and Google as the only really viable approach, and then you have to just suffer its limitations.
Ina Fried is chief technology correspondent for Axios. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Michael Lipkins, our senior editor. And Robin Edgar is our engineer. And now for some related links. One of the very few states that has developed an app is North Dakota. It's called Care19, and it's reportedly been found sending data to third parties without permission, including Google and Foursquare, which Business Insider says specializes in passing data on to advertisers. This seems to be a very not cool artifact of the way that states are having to build their own apps, as Ina explained. In North Dakota's case, it outsourced it to a company which used an older app as a template. That was something that was designed to help football fans connect with each other. The same company signed a contract to build the same app for South Dakota, BI says, for $9,000. Meanwhile, over in Utah, that state spent $2.75 million on an app and $300,000 per month in maintenance fees. And according to BuzzFeed, only 1.4% of residents have downloaded it. One of the other contact tracing apps I did manage to find in the very limited selection in the Google Play Store was for Italy. The New York Times reports on the questions that European countries are asking themselves about handing over too much power and data to foreign tech companies. In Italy, as well as France and Germany, which are also running pilots, downloading an app is voluntary. Other countries have used more invasive methods, from compulsory apps in India to an app used in Bahrain and Kuwait, which goes far beyond the data collection of the Google-Apple effort and collects GPS location data in near real time. The BBC details how authorities can link that data to individuals who then become unwitting participants in a TV show called Are You at Home? On state-owned TV, where a host video calls residents to try to catch them breaking stay-at-home orders. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Michael Lipkins, our senior editor. And Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.